Okay. All right, so this morning, we're starting a new series. And the series that we're starting is really looking at the life of Jesus. Now, today is Palm Sunday. From a biblical perspective, this is the Sunday or the time that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey and people put down palms and everybody was excited that he was coming in. So this was the Sunday before he was crucified. But I want us to, this month, explore the life of Jesus. And not just Jesus as we know in terms of, well, you read the Bible, you know Jesus did this, Jesus did that. All those things are fine, but we want to really look at who Jesus is from a real life perspective. Now, when I say a real life perspective, I'm not just talking about knowing Jesus from a distance, but knowing Jesus on a personal basis, knowing the things that Jesus will do, and having God also speak to us personally. All right? So we're going to spend this month looking at Jesus, just looking at Jesus and his life. But today, we're looking at part one of who is this Jesus. Now, before Jesus began the journey into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, which is noted as today, he called his disciples together and he asked them a very pertinent question. He asked them a very pertinent question. And that's the question that I believe that we need to ask ourselves today. And I'll read from Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 15. Matthew chapter 16, 13 to 15. So I'm going to be looking at a number of things this morning. But the first thing is this, Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 15. And I will read. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Then he asked them, what about you? Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? So the first point I want to make this morning is this. Jesus asked them a question. And that's the question that I'm asking us this morning. That's the question that I have had to ask myself over the past couple of years. Now, why was Jesus asking them this question at this time? He was asking them this question at this time because something very important was going to happen to his life. And he wanted to find out from them where they were in their relationship with him. It's just like I was just an interesting comment came to my mind this morning. It's just like, for example, you have a guy who likes a girl, and he goes to this girl. And he begins to talk to her. Maybe they're both in the same church. And he becomes very friendly with this girl, this sister in church. Hi, how are you doing? I hope you've had a good week and all that. They're both unmarried at this point. But they're at the age where they could get married, that the marriageable age. But this guy just keeps, you know, finding out how she's doing month one, month two, month three. 1 year goes along and he calls her every week, says really nice things to her and all that. And at some point, I'm sure that girl or that sister would ask, hang on, what is this guy? What do you really want? Are you interested in me or not? You know, you have to tell me, are you interested in me or not? Do you understand? So it's like drawing the line to say, make up your mind. Where are you in this relationship? Are you here or there? Do you understand? Now, I'm using that analogy this morning because Jesus was asking his disciples, where are you guys? You have been following me for 3 years. You've seen me do things. You know what I do. But a time has come where you have to tell me and you have to make a choice or a decision. Are you for me or not? Because the next phase of my life is not a joking matter at all. It is not a casual stage. So if you're not really with me, let me know now. Better still, let yourself know. Don't deceive yourself. Where are you? Do you understand? So that's the background. So Jesus asked them, who the people? Let's start with who people say that I am. Who do people say I am? They say prophet, so on and so forth. He now said, okay, no problem. That's the general public. How about you as an individual? Forget about every other person in church. Forget about who Pastor Benson thinks I am. Forget about who this person thinks I am. Let's leave all those guys out of it. I'm now talking to you as an individual. Who do you say I am? And he kind of like cornered them. He didn't give them room to maneuver. And they had to come up with something. Now, what I realized just reflecting on life, reflecting on myself, reflecting on people around, and thinking about how a lot of us sometimes we view Jesus at different stages of our journey with him. And I'm going to give us three scenarios this morning. Three scenarios of what I've found to be the case in a lot of us, or a lot of people. I'm talking about people who are following Christ. I'm not talking about people who are not born again at all. No, those folks don't know him yet, but they will. So I'm talking about you as a someone who is a believer or a follower of Christ. I've found out that there are usually three scenarios, three views that people have. And the reason why it seems like I'm a bit passionate about this morning is this. Depending on the scenario you fall into, it will determine how far you're going to go with Jesus. It will determine how far I am going to go to Jesus. But you need to be clear on which one it is you are. I need to be clear so that you know what your boundaries are to yourself and you're not kidding yourself. And I'm not kidding myself. Do you get what I mean? Now, so we look at three scenarios. So the first one is what I will call scenario one, where someone views Jesus as just a teacher. And I'm going to read a portion of scripture, which is Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 to 23. Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 to 22. So this is the first scenario where someone views Jesus as just a teacher. And he says, Just then, a man came up to Jesus and asked, teacher, note that word, what good things must I do to get eternal life? Then Jesus goes, why do you ask about what is good? Jesus replied, there's only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments. Which ones? He inquired. Jesus replied, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false witness. Honor your father and your mother. Love your neighbor as yourself. All these things I have kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Now, realize that Jesus didn't tell everybody that he met, go and sell your bits. I mean, when he met Zacchaeus, the notorious tax collector, who had duped many people, Jesus didn't say, you know what, before you can follow me, just go back and, you know, return all that. Jesus didn't do that. But Jesus wanted to highlight to this man that you cannot carry on with me and go very far if you see me just as a teacher. So Jesus poses something to him to reveal what was really in his own heart. Do you get what I mean? And what Jesus I think our choir sister is, maybe if you take her for a slight. Don't worry, when we get our building in the future, we'll put them in a room. They can shout as much as they want. Yeah, we just have to bear with them. So this man saw. You guys are looking like when you were younger, you didn't used to do that. Please leave leave our little ones. So this man saw Jesus as just a teacher. And Jesus posed a question to him. He asked him to do something that would reveal where he was really at. Now, how would you know if you're just a teacher person? Now, all these things that I'm saying, I'm a very critical person about myself. When I'm at home, I just go before God sometimes. I say, like, God, you know, this is where I am. You see that thing you'd like me to do? I really don't want to do it. You see that person you want me to talk to and apologize? I really don't want to apologize to them because they're wrong. So what I'm saying is, I'm not just pointing the gun at you guys. It's something that I do myself. And it is hard truth, I tell you. So Jesus tells him to do something that will reveal to him that, look, you can't just follow me to the end as a teacher only. Now, what are the characteristics of someone, or what did I find to be the characteristics in my life when I still viewed Jesus as a teacher only? Now, there's some things I've noticed. One, this man was excited about Jesus. I mean, so it wasn't like this guy was like, you know, the Bible says that when this man saw Jesus, he ran to Jesus and said, Jesus, what must I do? I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine as I'm preaching now, right? Someone runs through the door and they say, oh, Pastor Benson, what must I do to know God? I mean, I'd be like, man, this person is worth emulating. So this man was excited about God and excited about the Word of God. He loved the Bible. Jesus said, okay, obey the Bible. He says, which one? Just tell me, anyone. You know, this man was super excited. And there are times that we might say, look, I'm really excited. And yeah, Jesus, I really want, you know. And he says, slow down. But we also see something about when one views Jesus as a teacher only. Such an individual, or when I was at that stage, would only go with Jesus as long as it was not inconvenient for me. Hey, Pastor Benson, do you want to turn up at church at Wednesday for the Bible study? I'm like, man, that's the day I watch Who Wants to Become a Millionaire. I don't think I can make it. I want to stay at home and watch TV. I don't want to join that prayer meeting. So it's like, I love Jesus, I love his word, but if it's going to inconvenience me a bit, it's getting too far. It's getting too far, you know, at least, come on. I attend church once in a while. So we begin to see that when one views Jesus just as a teacher, we tend to be only available to him and to his work as long as it doesn't inconvenience us, as long as it doesn't affect our plans, as long as you don't have that Sunday, you don't have your service on a Sunday morning when I take my son to watch and to play football at Wembley. If it's on a Sunday, Pastor, I'm sorry. My son has to join Arsenal. I remember, and again, please, I'm not, if you're like an Arsenal or football person, those guys, they have to do what they have to do. But what I'm just saying is that where you have the choice to do something, even though it's going to inconvenience you a bit, and you make the choice not to inconvenience yourself for Christ, then maybe you're just viewing Christ as a teacher. Maybe. And again, we you know, the Bible says something. It says, God says that we should be really truthful with ourselves. So Christ goes on to say that it is not just saying that you are something that makes you something. It is what you actually do that tells us who you are, or that tells you who you are. You can't say that you, maybe as a husband, you love your wife, and you wake up in the morning and you disappear for 2 months. You don't see your wife. You just abscond. Or you don't, you can give her all the roses and all that, but the truth of the matter is that your actions are not aligning with what you're saying. Do you understand? So let us watch what we're doing as the judge of whether we are truly in any of these categories. Not what we say. We all have good intentions. I love Jesus. You love Jesus. You want to do things. But really, actions will express what it is. So for this man, we saw that he loved the Bible. He loved the teachings. He could quote all the scriptures. But he would do whatever as long as it didn't affect his plans. And at the end of the day, this man weighed everything and he said, wow, man, this Jesus, following Jesus is just too hard. It's too strict. I just can't do it. And he left. He left. And you're wondering, how can someone who is so excited leave Christ? Well, he did. And the reason that he left was because he viewed Jesus as a teacher only. So we're looking at three scenarios. We're looking at three scenarios today. The second scenario is where we see Jesus as just a provider or just a healer. And there's nothing wrong with that. The Bible tells us that Jesus came to take away our infirmities, and by his stripes we have been healed. So there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But let us look at the second scenario. Because again, if one views Jesus just as someone who is a provider, or someone who just answers your prayer, someone who helps you to do things, then you and I might not be able to go too far with Jesus. I'm going to read Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 to 21, where Jesus feeds 5,000 people. It says, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and he healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it is getting late. Send the crowd away so that they can go to the villages to buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the loaves and 2 fish and looking into heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets of broken pieces that were left. The number of them who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. So we see a scenario here where Jesus went to a place and a lot of people gathered to him. And Jesus had compassion on them. He said, "These guys haven't eaten at all. How are we going to feed them?" His disciples said, "Look, let them sort themselves out." let them come, we've preached. Let them go to McDonald's and, we can't be responsible for all these people. But Jesus said, no, let us feed them. Because Jesus cared for them. So in the same way, Jesus cares so much for us. Jesus isn't saying, well, once you come to church on a Sunday, whatever happens to you throughout the week is your business. Sort it out. No. He said, let us feed them. Do you understand? So Jesus fed them supernaturally. Do you understand what I mean? Now, let me go to John chapter 6, verses 26 to 27. So this was another time, and the people were looking for Jesus again. They were looking for Jesus. They were like, where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? Loads of people were looking for him. And do you know what Jesus said to them in John chapter 6, verses 26 and 27? I mean, he was so blunt. Can you beat this? He says, Jesus answered, truly I tell you, you are looking for me not just because you saw the signs that I performed, but because you ate the loaves of bread and you have filled. So Jesus said, look, hang on. Don't be super excited here. I know the reason that you're looking for me. It's not really for me. It's because I fed you. I mean, that must have really shocked them. But Jesus was blunt with them, but he didn't. He just let them know that. But he didn't stop there. Now, I want to take us to the tragic part of this. About if one is just following Christ because of what Christ does for you, maybe he heals, he provides for you and all that. Let me take you to the tragedy of these people. And the tragic bit was in John chapter 6, verse 66. Jesus began to tell them the truth about the kingdom. He began to say them that, tell them, being a Christian sometimes is going to be inconvenient. Being a Christian sometimes is going to mean that you are not going to be able to do some of the things that your other mates are doing. Being a Christian means that you have to live a certain lifestyle. Being a Christian means that Jesus has to be number one in your life. Even if you have plans, you have to put those plans aside. So, Jesus begins to tell them all this. The same way he was asking his disciples, who do you say that I am? He wanted to remove the fluff and to tell them, look, this journey that you guys are going on as Christians is not a wishy-washy, comfy, bloofy, whatever. Yes, I will care for you, Jesus said. He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be there for you all the time. However, you need to be truthful to yourself and ask yourself where you are. And let me bring us to the tragedy of these people, the people who just saw Jesus as a healer and as a provider. When Jesus had told them all these things and they're like, man, this is hard stuff. See what happened to them in John chapter 6, verse 66. It says, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. It's hard. I've seen people who, and again, not knocking anybody, because I've been through some of it myself. Someone, like, they've been coming to church, they're excited, and maybe they're unwell. Like, God, you have to heal me. If you don't heal me by the end of today, I'm not going to be a Christian anymore. And God wants to heal everybody. But maybe it doesn't happen. And they disengage. And I'm texting them, where are you? Brother this or sister this, then they block my phone. Like, this Christianity thing doesn't work. You're giving us false hope. You said God heals. God does this thing. Do you understand? Or someone's like, I've been looking for a job for 2 years now. This person got a job, they prayed. That person got a job, they prayed. I've been praying and all that. This thing doesn't work. God, if you don't give me a job or help me, by 2023 March, I've had it. Or maybe someone wants to bear a child. They've been married for a bit. And like, God, I've been married for 10 years. If you don't give me, I'm going to, and all that. Now, what does Christ say? God cares about us. Let's not forget about that. He has made a number of promises to us that he'll take care of us because he's our Father. He has made a lot of promises to us that when we are going through sad times, he's there and he will bring us out of it. So Jesus isn't saying it is wrong for us to feel angry sometimes. There's sometimes I tell God, I was expecting this and that happened. That's, I'm not really happy with that. So God isn't saying we should hide our emotions. If you're angry, you're angry. If you're sad, you're sad. So God isn't saying pretend that you're not. He's not saying that. But what this is saying is that if our lives as believers is based, or our relationship with Christ is based on what he can do for us, oftentimes we might not be able to go too far. And that's the truth. That is the truth. So we need to really come to terms with these things. How about if I pray and nothing happens? Well, Jesus is still Jesus. Do you understand? How about if I'm reading the Bible and there's some things that I'm meant to do that I do not like, that are so inconvenient? What am I going to do about it? What am I going to do about it? I was telling someone that there was a time. I mean, I love coming to church. In fact, I can. If we had like meetings every day, I'll be here. But there was this particular Sunday that I woke up at home. I had done so much that week, and I was so tired. And that Sunday morning, I woke up and I said, God, do I really have to go to church this morning? I am so tired. And he says, yes, you have to go. Who is going to preach? I was physically exhausted. And I could have stayed in bed and just switched on the TV. That was what I wanted to do that morning. Well, I was like, man, you can't do that. You have to go. So I said I'll mention three scenarios this morning. So the first scenario I mentioned is when someone views Jesus as just a teacher. They might be excited about the Bible, excited about God, as long as it doesn't go against their plans. The second scenario is where we base our relationships on what Jesus can do for us. And when those things don't happen, we walk away from that relationship with him. So Jesus was asking his disciples these questions because he wanted them to know who they were. Now, Jesus wants us to be honest with ourselves. It's not so that he can point fingers at us and say, I knew it. You've been following me because of what you can get from me. I've always known that all that thing. No. He does that so that you and I can own up and say, Jesus, you know what? Yeah, I now realize that I have viewed you just as a teacher. Because when it comes to inconveniencing myself, man, I'm not ready to do it. But help me. But help me. So when Jesus is God, he knew them already, but he wanted them to realize who they were so that they can own up and so that he will be able to help them. Can you imagine Peter who denied Jesus? But Peter realized something. And I will tell you what Peter realized in the third and the final scenario. So scenario number three. Jesus now asked them, who do you say that I am? He narrowed them. He cornered them. And that's the same way I'm cornering you this morning because I've cornered myself at home already. He says, who do you say I am? And Peter said something. He said in Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 to 16. He says, but what about you, he said, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. So Jesus said, that is right. So we can view Jesus as our Father, our God, and our Savior. If you look at Psalm 89, verse 26, he says, he will call out to me. Jesus, God is saying to us, you are my Father, my God, and my Savior. So when we view Jesus as our Savior. That means He takes care of us. When we view Jesus as our God, that means irrespective of our opinions or how inconvenient anything is, we will still go with Him. Even if it's a painful decision. And He now goes, our Father, which means God wants to see what He wants you to know, that He is my Father and He's your Father, that you're part of His family. He doesn't want us to view Him as just a teacher. I was just remembering that when I was in my secondary school, I know we have some teachers amongst us, I really didn't like going to class. I tell you, I just didn't really like going to class. I'm like, man, do I have to go and listen to this teacher? So it's the same way. Being Jesus as the teacher, do I have to go and listen to that Pastor Benson guy this Sunday? No. No, I'm not going to go. I'm just going to, if he sends me text, I'll just make up an excuse. Jesus said, no, don't view me as a teacher. Don't view me as just someone who can do things for you. View me as your Father. And because Peter saw Jesus this way, when he denied Jesus and went off, he didn't view Jesus as just a teacher, saying, this my teacher is going to like flog me or tell me off. He didn't view Jesus as someone who could do something for him. He viewed Jesus as God, Savior, and Father. That's why he came back to him. And what did Jesus do? Did Jesus say, oh, Peter, I'm not quite sure about you anymore. You are just not trustworthy. No. Jesus actually entrusted the foundations of the church to him. Because Jesus knew that as long as this Peter takes me as his Father, God, and Savior, I will deal with every other thing around. Do you understand? So, I'm going to end here. And the question that I have for us on this Palm Sunday is, who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? Is he just a teacher? Is he just someone that do stuff for you? Or is Jesus your God and Father? And like I said, along my journey, there are times that I viewed Jesus as a teacher. Like, and I viewed Jesus as someone who just provides. But God didn't say to me at that point, I've had it with you. No. He has still encouraged me. And that's why sometimes I'm so excited. So you guys might be like, man, on a Sunday morning, why is this pastor excited? Because I know that Jesus is my Father, is my God and my Savior. And He will always be there for me. So this morning, I'm going to invite us to rise. And we just want to have a conversation with Christ, a very personal conversation. So you know where you are with Christ. I know where I am with Christ. Why don't you speak to Christ this morning and just have a proper conversation with Him this morning. If you are still viewing Him as teacher, it's fine. If you're viewing Him as someone who just does things, it's fine. But we want to transition from that. So Jesus is saying, change your mind this morning. Change your heart this morning. And He's here to help. So I'll just give us time to reflect. Father, we just thank you.